If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
XY Mornings with Moose and Breezy.
Would you believe a sleepwalking claim and a murder defense? Or would you think it's just an excuse? Because we're trying to figure out how many people sleepwalk. Do you do it? Do you know someone who does it? 585-252-9800. You got Moose and Breezy this morning. What's up?
This is insane, Moose, because over the weekend, I watched a documentary that I think you said that you've seen. It's called Dead Asleep. And it was about this. They were like young adults. They were mid-20s, 21 to like 24. They were living in Florida together. They had known each other since childhood. And this man, boy, whatever, had a history of sleepwalking. And he ended up murdering his roommate. Her.
Stabbed her like 45 times. It's like, and, yeah, I was sleeping though. I don't remember a thing.
But in the documentary, which obviously all documentaries, I believe, are biased, depending on who's producing and filming them. But in the documentary, like, he has a history of sleepwalking. He's slept walk his entire life. He's done crazy things during his sleepwalking episodes. And I was just like so blown away by this documentary because like it was so hard for me to believe or like wrap my head around. But I have a friend and I know people who have such bad sleepwalking episodes that they're like, no, I could definitely murder someone in my sleep.
And they wouldn't know anything about it. They just wake up the next morning and carry on with their day. I got a buddy whose dad is a neurologist and he supports the claims that, yeah, this guy probably ended up murdering. Were they together?
No, they were just roommates.
Okay, I think he liked this girl, but
That's what a lot of people were saying too.
He murdered her, stabbed her a whole bunch of times, then wakes up and has no idea that this went down.
Woke up
the night before,
standing. Well, he woke up standing over the body. That's what had happened, and you know, it's just insane because I was talking about this with my mom and she was like, oh, yeah, I have a friend whose husband has sleepwalking episodes and he tried to choke her out in his sleep.
Oh, so typically,
like, it's like an interactive dream. It's like a 3D dream.
I'm telling you, if you marry somebody who sleepwalks every single night, you have to be careful. Because these people go to bed and you don't know. You don't know what they truly want to do to you day to day. But they just, you know, they're not going to do it.
And it's like subconscious, you know. And then when you go to sleep and you go and like rest and shut down, like your subconscious sometimes comes through in dream form or other ways. I wish my friend could call and she can't. But she has been sleepwalking her entire life. And it got to the point, well, she used to live in Florida and she was sleepwalking while like camping and she sleptwalked out of a tent that she was in and walked about like a mile away from the campsite. She was younger. Strangers found her and brought her back. But like she was walking around ponds with alligators and like all these crazy things and had no recollection and went back to the tent with these strangers, woke her mom up, still sleeping, and was like, these people want to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. See, that would have been, if I was her dad, I would have been so frustrated. It's like, you chose to do that, but you couldn't just sleepwalk over the fire and make us breakfast for the next morning. I would have been pissed. By the way, this is very common in children. I think one of the things that I always found extremely wild about people who sleepwalk is there's a number of stories of people get in their car every night and just drive for miles. And then they don't remember doing it.
So in the documentary, this is like, it's so hard for someone who doesn't sleepwalk to understand, like me. Like it's so hard for me to wrap my head around. But in the documentary, the mom of the murderer said that when he was younger, he would get on his bike and ride down to the bar that she worked at and like be like, "What's up?" But like fully sleeping. And it's hard to sit there and be like, take ownership, take accountability, take blame. Like, if you really are sleeping and like that's something that's like a neurological issue that you're dealing with, like you really can't.
You don't
really
know.
Like, I don't know. It's just it's insane.
There was a story I read about a guy named Kenneth Parks. Did you guys ever hear about this? Old story. I mean, this was in Canada back in the 1980s, but he drove 14 miles to his in-law's house, killed his mother-in-law, like brutally murdered her, injured his father-in-law, then just drove home and doesn't remember doing any of it. He was found not guilty, by the way. I was like, what?
What?
Guy turned himself in and was like, I think I'm being accused of doing this. There's a possibility, but it was, he had a sleep disorder.
So it's so insane because, like, you know the old saying, like, oh, I could do this in my sleep. Like, they really are doing things in their sleep. Like, how are you operating machinery?
Right.
While you're sleeping, like, that's worse than someone driving while under the influence of something. Like, then you're not there. Cognitively not there.
They did another story about this guy named Scott. Not Spisano. This dude was in Arizona. But 1997, he stabbed his wife 44 times, dragged her out of bed after he stabbed her, and then dragged her in the pool and held her head underwater. Claimed he was sleepwalking. And they're like, nah, you're guilty. It's like he saw everybody else getting away with it. He's like, no, it was so calculated that they knew right away. So growing up, I had this best friend. Had a sleepover with him, okay, at his house. I saw him get up one night and walk over to the wash machine and opened it up and got inside of it. Not the wash machine, the dryer. Okay.
What?
And he told me, we were about 7, 8 years old. A couple of years go by, it's time for him to spend the night at my house. So in my room at the time, I had twin beds. Not sure why I had two beds in my room.
A day bed and a night bed.
Right. So there was one on either side of the room, but it was great for like when my buddy slept over as a kid.
Right.
In the middle of the night, he gets up out of bed and gets into bed with me. And I'm like, what, 9, 10 years old? I didn't want to be rude. So I'm like, oh, this is so weird. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So I just moved over for him. And then eventually I like patted him on the head at like 7 a.m. I'm like, hey, you've been here all night. He's like, why didn't you wake me up sooner? I was like, I don't know. I panicked.
He goes, I wanted to be the big spoon.
Yeah. Well, right. Of course.
You loved it.
Wake up to PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy.
When you tell your smart device to
play 98 PXY.
98PXY's Moose and Breezy invite you to grab your popcorn. Get comfortable in your seat. Because Breezy's about to break down a classic she somehow missed over the last quarter century. It's Breezy's Big Movie Review.
Action! Yesterday on the show for Moosterpiece Theater, Breezy and I acted out The Big Sick, starring Ray Romano, Zoe Kazan, and the very funny Kumail Nanjiani. Before we get to Breezy's review of the film, which, fingers crossed, it's a good one today, here's a clip of us doing some of our best acting together yesterday on the show for Moosterpiece Theater. Take a listen.
Seriously, that's the most misogynistic thing you've ever said.
Why are you being so weird?
F you. I'm not being weird.
You're being so weird right now. I'm just trying to sleep and you're being really weird right now. It's confusing.
My God, I really have to go.
What is going on? Just tell me what's wrong. I'm trying to sleep and you're being weird. Are you okay?
Everything is not okay. No, everything is definitely not okay.
You know you can tell me anything, okay?
I have to take a giant dump, okay? I have to take a really big dookie, and I can't poop in your bathroom. The walls are super thin, and I have no matches or air freshener. What kind of person doesn't have any of those things? I can't do this. Oh, my God. I have to go.
Where are you going?
Have to go. I have to poop.
Okay, very good. Come back. I feel like you didn't really have to do a ton of acting on that one yesterday.
No, that was just me. That's just a Tuesday.
Here's the breakdown before we get to Breezy's review. If you didn't see the film, I recommend it. However, we'll see what you have to say. Kumal is a Pakistani comic who meets an American graduate student named Emily at one of his stand-up shows. As their relationship starts to blossom, he soon becomes worried about what his traditional Muslim parents will think of her. When Emily suddenly comes down with an illness that leaves her in a coma, Kumal finds himself developing a very deep bond with her concerned mother and father. Rotten Tomatoes scored this 98%. It's a good movie.
It was definitely wild.
Breezy?
That's for sure.
Did this movie, The Big Sick, hold up?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like it held up more than any movie we've ever done.
We'd love to hear it.
Because you know what? Like, I feel like it puts a lot into perspective when people are ill. And I feel like with COVID just being 5 years ago, like,
yeah,
it probably put a lot of things into perspective for people that were going through that.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get through the breakdown of the film. Let's start off with your thoughts on favorite character in The Big Sick. Who are you rooting for?
Honestly, Ray Romano's character.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah.
He doesn't really even look like himself in this movie, at least what I remember him as growing up. But
from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, can I say something controversial? I didn't really love Emily. I didn't like love her character. I didn't think
she... Did you find her obnoxious?
Brought anything to the table.
Really? Well, she was in a coma, so...
Yeah, that is true. She was in a coma for a lot of the film.
Right.
But even when she wasn't in a coma, I was just kind of like...
Did you think that she came off as whiny?
She came off as a wallflower to me.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
I mean, like... Well, yeah, she was a little whiny when she was like... Like, she wasn't understanding of
his culture, right.
And the situation that he was in with the pictures of the women that she found. And, like, I get it. It's jarring. But, like, take the time to understand before flying off the handle, ?
Right. And see, my best friend, he's Indian. And Gianni was in the same situation where his parents tried to help with an arranged marriage, which he had to constantly meet these different women and do these dinners he didn't want to go to until he finally met the love of his life without the help of his parents.
Yeah. Were they okay with it?
Yeah, because, you know, they shared a lot of the same interests, religion, and all that stuff.
Right.
What was your favorite scene in The Big Sick? When she went into the coma?
Okay, can I also just say, maybe I was, like, texting, but, like... I feel like I just looked up from my phone and all of a sudden she was in the hospital.
Right.
Like, what happened? Like, there was really no
good
transition of that.
Right. I mean, she came down with this weird eating infection, virus, bacteria, what have you, and it caused her to go into a coma.
One minute they were breaking up, the next minute I look up and she's in the hospital. I didn't know.
Right. And her parents have nothing but hate for Kumal, who is the greatest guy.
Hate him.
Yeah. Let's go over to your least favorite scene.
Well, can I be honest? I don't think our scene was... I don't think I played it that well.
No, I know that. Oh! And I gave you direction.
He goes,
you're
no,
sleeping
know,
yeah. at this guy's house for the first or second time. You just started dating. You have an emergency. You need to be a little bit more in a panic, and you're a little calm during
also,
your scene.
Also, him going out and sitting on the stoop with her is diabolical.
No, he waited for her so she could have some privacy.
I thought she was, like, going to the bathroom outside.
No. She was just coming.
Oh, okay.
She was just
okay.
coming from the bathroom. So that
right.
was very respectful.
I guess, okay.
I've had girlfriends in the past kick me out of their place so they can have privacy.
Also, like, can I be honest with that scene specifically? Like, if she just snuck off into the night, like she made a bigger deal about it by waking him up.
Big
like,
time.
He probably would have never known.
Best throwback moment in the film, Breeze.
The film's like really not that old. It came out in 2017, so there's not that many throwback moments other than the fact that, I don't know, maybe Uber had just come out and he's driving for Uber.
That's
I'm really grasping at straws here.
Out of five popcorn buckets, what are you giving the 2017 film The Big Sick?
You know, it was a great movie. Missing a couple of things for me, but out of five, I'm giving it a 3.9.
It deserved at least a 4.5. A 3.9? It's even come close to five?
She just randomly was in the hospital. Like, I don't...
She got sick!
But, like, one day she was cooking sourdough bread and the next day she's... I don't know.
You know what the speculations are, right, with this film?
What?
She was so backed up and so constipated, she went into a coma.
That could happen.
You would know.
Take it from me.
Always will be.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. Peak Swine Mornings, Moose, Breezy, welcome back to the show. Yesterday, I read an article that more and more teachers are turning to crowdfunding, like GoFundMe, to raise money for basic school supplies. I mean, we're talking crayons, paper, markers, what have you. Should teachers really be asking us to fund their classrooms? Or is this something the school districts need to handle themselves?
Right.
Would love to know your thoughts. 585-252-9800. And as we already know, we have a lot of teachers that listen to the show. I have friends who are teachers. They have a responsibility to cover the cost of all this stuff. And God knows they don't make a huge salary either.
Correct.
Your mom was a teacher for over 30 years in the district.
Correct.
If she had the chance to use GoFundMe back in the day, do you think she would have done it?
I don't know that for certain. I really don't. Like... Because, listen, I think it all depends on the person and, like, you have a certain style that you want and a certain vibe that you want to put out there. And that's not always, like, that's not always everyone's vibe. So it's hard for people to support, like, a vision. You know what I mean?
You know, you're just trying to decorate your classroom and have enough supplies that to go around for everyone. That right. costs money. We asked this question earlier in the show, and Amy weighed in and says, I know it sucks being asked for money all the time, but sometimes... The school district really doesn't have the funds. I think teachers are just trying to give their kids the best chance. And with that being said, I don't think someone donating 10 to 15 bucks to help with supplies is going to break the bank, especially if it's for your kids.
True.
You know, because let's be honest, every kid loves to walk into a classroom and it's vibrant, it's exciting, it's welcoming.
Exactly. Like, it's a better learning environment. I feel like the environment in which you are in is going to make or break your experience, whether it be learning, work, what have you. It obviously makes a huge difference.
I agree. Let's go over to a few people on hold. PXY, hello.
Hey guys, this is Nate. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey buddy. What are your thoughts on this? Are you for the crowdfunding for teachers or against it?
Absolutely against it.
Oh, tell us more.
No, teachers should not be asking for donations to fund their classrooms. That's the first thing.
Okay.
They get paid all year long to do their job. How is it our responsibility to bankroll their basic supplies?
Every year leading up into the summer, they're asking for help. Just the basic supplies that they need for the classroom.
I get it, and I'm not trying to come off like a dick, but if you think about it, if you're a teacher and you can't afford paper and markers, you're in the wrong profession.
I think they're in the right profession, and that's why they're asking for help. So
they should have been bankers if they wanted money.
Well, they're not using it for, they're not pocketing it, Nate. It's going towards the kids. They're towards their education and helping them. They need basic supplies.
I understand it. And you'd like to think that all of the money goes all where it's supposed to go, but that's not how people work.
Well, where do you think it's going?
You know, it's going for that third vacation they need to take in the summer.
Come on, dude. You really think that? You think these teachers are going on a cruise? Do you know, Nate, a majority of teachers, whether you think so or not, have a second job during the summertime.
And that's fine. Why aren't they taking money from that to buy their basic supplies instead of doing a GoFundMe?
Well, a lot of teachers are. They've struggled to pay for those supplies every year. I have friends who are teachers. They're constantly dishing out money for their classrooms. They don't have a choice. Not everybody's crowdfunding.
Yeah, but if you're crowdfunding crayons, it's a school. It's not a charity.
I think they're kind of the same, if I'm being honest. Like, for the greater good of the youth of our, or the education of our youth. I mean,
well, tell us more, Nate.
No, look, first of all, teachers, they're not poor. Like you said, they already have a second job when they're not working, when they're already getting paid for not working. They get a pension. They got Bennies. They're off the whole damn summer.
Bennies is crazy. But some of them are getting paid. Some of them, you can, when you're a teacher, you have a choice to either get paid out in full for the year that you are working, like the school year of which you're working, or you can get a deduction from your pay and it can be scattered across in the summer so you continue to get a paycheck. Some people don't have the luxury to have money set aside. So,
well, and who's paying their the checks? The school district? Then why isn't the school district paying for the supplies?
We've been having this conversation for, I think, as long as all of us can breathe. We don't know. We don't know why they're not paying. I think that's a bigger conversation, but right now we're talking about Miss Frizzle's Amazon wish list.
Yeah, I mean, how much is it? How much is it costing a teacher each summer to pay for all the school supplies? Almost $1,000, and we're talking on basics for the students.
But there's a way you can teach kids without, you know, having to reach into your pocket. There's a way for them, you know, dry erase boards. How about stuff that just doesn't go straight to waste?
Listen, I don't know what teachers need in their classroom today. I haven't been in school in years. But you're calling it lazy. But GoFundMe in crowdfunding raised what? I think I read $1.6 billion for classrooms. Does that show that there's a need for it? Or do you still think it's like a greedy profession?
To be honest, look, I'm tired of being guilted into donating money. That's where I'm at. All right, why? So they can have fancy crayons and what Starbucks style seatings? Are you out of your mind?
I think what it comes down to is this: teachers are creative beings. Obviously, that's why they're in that profession. And yeah, I mean, you could have a classroom that has two whiteboards and a chair, but I don't. Studies and history has proven that you act better, you learn better when you are comfortable in your environment. When you're being taught curriculum in a room that looks like a jail cell, I'm not retaining it. Sorry.
Don't make me laugh, all right?
Nate, listen, let's wrap this up because you truly believe that teachers are using some of this money they're getting to take a vacation during the summer, yes?
Oh, I think they're salivating. They already know what they want to spend that money on.
All right, well,
it's going to be for the crayons. It's not. We're going to Ibiza.
Let's ask. I'm dying to know. Teachers, I know a lot of you listen to the show. What are you doing with this extra money? Call in 585-252-9800. Are you skimming a little off the top? This is your chance to defend yourself. Nate, thanks for calling in this morning. Any last words or thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, how about the school district pays? I'm sick of having this money come out of my wallet. They're already stealing it from Albany with my taxes.
Yeah, well, you already said that. I was just being facetious. But all right, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
All right, we got a couple messages coming in. I want to go to this one that says, Chelsea says, Nate, your attitude is why teachers are burning out. Because we're not asking for handouts because we want them. We're begging because the district can't or won't provide.
Right.
You want quality education, then support the people on the front lines instead of throwing hate. Anthony says, Nate, stop acting like teachers are lazy and getting handouts. They're working their asses off in overcrowded classrooms with outdated supplies. You want to help? Get involved with your school budget. Don't just complain on the radio.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I get where his frustration lies, but I feel like a lot of us share that same frustration of like, you're paying all this money in taxes and they're still not like barely scraping by to have the best possible education experience for these kids who you're paying all these taxes for.
You got teachers that are dishing out close to $1,000, I'm assuming, during the summer of their own money just so they can provide these basic supplies and setting their classroom up getting it ready for September.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it with, let's go over to Nancy that says, teachers shouldn't have to crowdfund, but until the system steps up, they'll keep doing what they have to do for the kids. People can be mad, but maybe put that energy into people cutting the budgets, not right. the ones filling the gap.
Correct.
Thanks, Moose and Breezy, for talking about this. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's this is a topic that is going to fire a lot of people up. Correct. And the bottom line is that there is clearly a problem, and everyone's tired of being the one expected to fix it. We're going to take a quick break. It's PXY Mornings. You got Moose and Breezy.
Hey, it's Juliana. Every weekday while you listen to 98PXY at work, I share the latest celebrity tea with you with my Dirty and 30. You're at just after 10:30 later this morning, The Julia Show, on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.